and help me along this way. Hallelujah. Let's pray right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning thanking you, Lord, for another day. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for all you've done, what you're doing right now, and, Father, what you're getting ready to do for us, your people. We come this morning humbly, bow down before you. Lord, we need you today, for without you, we can do nothing. And, Father, we ask today that you would lead and guide us in the right path. The Lord, you will continue to have mercy for us. And we thank you this morning for brand new grace and brand new mercy and for renewing your love for us. We come this morning, Father, asking for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings. Lord, we ask that you would put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. We thank you this morning for looking beyond our faults and supplying our needs. God, we thank you this morning for being on our side in spite of ourselves. We ask this morning, Father, that you would bless every caller and every listener, meet the needs in their lives, God, today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Bless those that are sick and incarcerated. Bless those that are in every branch of the military, those that are in nursing homes and hospitals and mental health institutions. Father, bless children here, there, and everywhere today. Lord, we ask that, God, you would remember those veterans that has already come home. The Lord, you would help today as only you can do. We know that, Lord, you're the great God and you sleep not slumber. Your eyes are in every place. You're beholding the evil and the good. Nothing goes on in the earth, Father, without your approval. You allow it. And, Father, we accept what you allow today, but we need your help, God. We need you. We can't make it without you. We ask that you bless every Blog Talk host that's teaching and preaching Jesus, leading others to your Son, leading others to you through your Son, Father, today in the name of Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Father, I ask that you would have your way here. Lord, we bind up every evil and hindering and negative spirit that's coming our way today in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we release you, the Spirit of Almighty God, here. And, Father, we ask that you would send your angels to stand watch, to shield and protect. Keep us from all hurt, harm, or danger this day. In the name of Jesus, bless Tom as he come in this morning. Father, bless his family. Bless them going out and coming in. Lord, meet the need in his life today. According to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus, we trust you today. We believe you, Lord, and we thank you right now. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you alone are worthy. And, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning our scripture reading was simply going to the 23rd Psalm. And today I'm asking every caller, well, I should say every believer, that you would believe these words and hold on to them. And no matter what come our way, God has it all in control. And if we really believe him, we don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Because the devil has his job, and we have ours. And if we're true believers, our job is to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand and stand on his word. And we can stand against the wiles of the devil, for we know he's but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus come today that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The only way I'm fearful of all this stuff, I'm missing a little Jesus in there, you understand? But if I got him, I'm not fearful of nothing. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He said I'm more than a conqueror. He said I'm the head and not the tail. His word said I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. He said I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So I don't have to be fearful of this stuff. All I do is keep obeying God. He's got my back. He don't forget. Uh-huh. His eyes are in every place again. He's beholding the evil and the good. So we want to keep trust and faith in God and keep moving right along. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. 23 this morning is our scripture of the day, Brother Louis. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'll turn the page, y'all. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. And so if this is what you believe today, you're safe. We know that David was running and on the run and hiding and all of this from King Saul. And these were the psalms that he spoke, that he wrote, that he made, that he thought of, that he come up with. And I believe if it worked for David, it will work for us. We just got to put it into effect. We just got to believe, keep the faith, do what we're supposed to do, keep a prayer life, a Bible study life, work while it's day, do what we're supposed to do, because we have to work, we have to study, we have to watch as well as pray. And we'll do what we're supposed to do. God has made us some promises, and he's not slight today concerning his promise like man. Is man a lie right now? Man confused. He's thinking one way when truly it's another. So we trust God who have all power and all wisdom and all knowledge, and we keep moving along. Yeah. So we're thinking this morning. We got 1 minute, and we're bringing Tom right in this morning. So we thank God for our guest this morning, Mr. Tom Gambill. And at this time, I'm going to turn the floor over to him.
Unmuted.
Good morning, Tom. God bless you. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Barbara. Thank you. Can you hear me well right now?
Yes, we hear you well.
Okay, I'll make sure.
And,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just checking because I've been gone for several days, and so I'm back on the air, and I just want to make sure everything was working okay before we get started. So I can't get the, for some reason, I can't get on the blog talk. Excuse me, on the chat. It's not coming up. So anything writes on the chat, I don't see it for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we're wide open in the chat, but I don't know. I need to get with them because some mornings you can get in and then some mornings you have to fight.
Oh.
To fight. And then eventually, for some reason, it lets you in.
Oh, okay.
But Sister Linda and Brother Louis are already over there. But at this time, I want to turn the floor over to you.
Okay. Well, this, what I want to talk about today is about the American veterans. I am a former veteran. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I was a captain when I got out. I was in 12 years, and I got out in 87. So I was between the wars, 75 and 87, 1975 and 1987. And when I got out, I went into to anti-terrorism with the State Department. Going overseas, I trained armed security and State Department, Department of Energy, and so forth. So I was into those areas, and I want to talk. I don't want to talk a lot about that. What I want to talk about, that's just kind of basically my background, and my full background is, if anybody wants to know, is on WatchmanForJesus.com. You see, but what I want to talk about tonight is not today. Is not me. What I want to talk about is rather veterans, and the fact that there's a massive, absolutely massive suicide rate that's happening, that people are going about it the wrong way. They're not approaching it in the correct way. And there's massive, and I can't think of a word even more than that. If I could, I would, but deception as to the cause of these suicides. And that's what I want to talk about. And, you know, those that don't understand about the New World Order are probably going to find some of the things I'm going to talk about today a little bit disturbing. And some of it might not even be believable. But everything I say today, I have evidence for. Now, on my website, watchmenforjesus.com, I have a part one, part two study of of the what I call the suicide conspiracy. And my premise is, based on evidence, is that these suicides of 22, a variance of 22 to 26 per day, that's 8,000 to 9,000 per year suicides are being orchestrated. A large percent of them are being orchestrated, planned out, and conducted by other than the veteran himself. It's being done by the Illuminati. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason it goes back. Now, I have a tendency to go down these rabbit trails, okay? But I'm going to talk about the basis of what my premise is, and to show a bigger picture than just a suicide. Now, I could talk this morning about suicide, what it involves, and and I will, to some extent, signs of suicide and basics, what causes suicide and so forth. Iraq and Afghanistan, the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and the psychotropic drugs are being given like 20 to 30 per day, okay? The so-called nasal spray that they say will prevent suicides, nasal spray to prevent suicides. Okay, so I could talk about that, but that's not getting to the meat of it. The meat of it is there is a major conspiracy to reduce the effectiveness of our U.S. military by the Council of Foreign Relations, as directed by the Illuminati. You see, that's the bigger picture. It's not just about suicides and how to prevent them and look for signs and all that. This is an attack on the American soldier, Marines, and American military that started in the 1950s to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military that was planned out after 1945 and instituted in 1950 with the Korean War. That was meant to lose, I can show without a shadow of a doubt, it was planned to lose by design, and the Vietnam War was planned for the same reason, to lose, make sure, absolutely make sure nobody wins, that there's a stalemate, and then a defeat for we pulled out. This was planned and orchestrated, you see. And then after that was to then attack the U.S. military forces by our own Joint Chief of Staff, that's conducted by the secret societies for a major plan to bring about a new world order. Now, to bring about a plan of a new world order, they had to then, after 1945, target the United States and the military to reduce our effectiveness to stop the North American Union. In other words, there's a bigger plan to bring about, and these are all facts. These are not speculation or conspiracy theory or whatever. These are all facts, provable, that there's a plan after 1945 that was set up for a 10-union world government with a map dated 1943. And 1945, after World War II, the plan to take down the last obstacle, which would be the United States. And the obstacle within that United States would be the U.S. military. And so it was tested in 1932, actually. FDR, I'm not going to go into detail about this, but just overall, FDR had planned in the background, along with Illuminati, absolutely. I got quotes, okay? A military dictatorship that did not succeed in 1943-44. It failed to happen, you see? And so... when that failed, they kept the map of the 10 world governments, 10 of them, on hold. So after World War II was over, 1945, began the targeting U.S. military and the U.S., well, actually the United States, in many different ways. Now, Korea was planned to lose. They made sure that communism was meant to stay in China as orchestrated by the State Department. That's why we had a stalemate in Korea. That was the purpose of it. And then Vietnam, the same thing. And then the target after that was the Middle East to bring about the conditions necessary for the Third World War to be between Islam and Zionism. Now, that's a big picture. But in the meantime, what had to be done was to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military. So in after a plot to seize the White House in 1932 to 34 failed, then they knew that had to go about it a different way. Major General Smedley D. Butler, of the Marine Corps, was part of that plan to seize the White House, but he blew this plan to Congress. He blew the whistle on them. That's documented in congressional records. Now, so after World War II, things fell apart for them as far as the world government, so 1945 began the next plan. Now, so Kent State, for example, was a test to see if U.S. military would fire on American citizens. That was what that was about. And there was supposed to be a military takeover of the U.S. government in 1962 to 63. And four great men, not working together, but individually, actually stopped a military takeover of the U.S. government. That was JFK, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X. Those four were assassinated, too, by the very same people, very same organizations assassinated those four. So they could not, U.S. government did not, was not able to take over. It was a Jesuit-ran operation. Jesuits, Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the secret societies. You see, and I got a quote from JFK confirming this. I got a quote from Martin Luther King confirming that the Democrat Party and Republican Party worked together. Okay, from both of them. And although, you know, Martin Luther King and JFK had, you know, their own individual differences, they both actually worked for the people, you know, the JFK for Americans to take down Illuminati, Martin Luther King for civil rights and get people together. Malcolm X, you know, I don't agree with his politics, but he was an honest man. And he was working, you know, yeah, for the blacks, for the Muslim side and all that. I don't agree with Muslims, but he was not working with the Illuminati, and he really meant well, you see. So that's why I respect Malcolm X. And Bobby Kennedy was after the mafia, which is controlled by the Illuminati, by the way, and the CIA. All right. So those four had to go because they were in the way of the New World Order. You see, God works in amazing ways, you see. God turns them over to power lust, or God brings out men that's going to intervene in his own way, in their own way, to stop what was going on, to make it last longer. In other words, God wants none should perish but ever have an everlasting life. He gives us opportunity to take him, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. That's why it's prolonged. That's why it's going on, because of people like you praying and helping people. Well, it's still there, so there's still opportunity. That's why, you know, it hadn't happened yet. You see? That's why you got to do something. You know, and you're leading, like in your ministry here, you're praying and you're bringing people together. You see? Well, they're doing it all over the United States. There's people there, so that's why it's being prolonged. But back to military suicides. Now, so Iraq in 1993, in 1993, there's a, by the way, 1972-74, Nixon, another Illuminati member and Freemason and so forth, was planning a military takeover of the U.S. government in 1972-74. I got the details. It failed to happen for many reasons. And again, in 84-87, Oliver North, Giafrida, Reagan, Carter, they were planning a military takeover in the mid-1985. Okay, and then one again in 1999 was supposed to have happened. You see how God works? And so each time there was one major problem. And the problem for them was, would American soldiers fire on American citizens? You see, that was always the biggest problem. They didn't know how it would go over. So in 1993, they finally did a questionnaire to determine whether or not in Twin Palms, California, there's like 1,000 Marines were given a 40-question questionnaire. And the 40 questions, I've got the questionnaire, but of interest are five particular questions. One of them was, would you wear the blue beret of the UN? And there's several other questions related to that issue. But the main question was, would you fire on American citizens? And the results they got were unfavorable. In other words, as if you didn't know, soldiers would not, a lot of them didn't agree to fire on American citizens unless they were fired upon and so forth. So, around 1990s, after it's already set up though, they started bringing in foreign troops. And to date, you got like 1,000 Spetsnaz, Russian special troops, coming in every month. You got Chinese already bought Idaho. They own 257 foreign trade zones in the United States. Foreign trade zones are sovereign Chinese territory in every state in the Union, just about. You see, so the idea is we can't trust American soldiers, military, to fire on American citizens. Therefore, we're going to use foreign troops and mercenaries and Islamic fundamentalist terrorists, which are in Dearborn, Michigan, and Detroit, by the way. That's planned 20 years ago, to actually bring down the United States. Well, they've got resistance. Where's that? From the veterans. And so what we have to do, they think, is they got to reduce the numbers of veterans and their effectiveness. And this is the biggest plan. And our own Joint Chief of Staff is part of this. Now, whether all of them are or not, I don't know. But I know majority of them that brief or have a connection with the Council of Foreign Relations, they're definitely Illuminati and secret societies. Now, this is what's really going on, and I can give evidence at the yin-yang. Now, I know we have a short time, you know, and I'm going to throw as much as I can in this morning. But I know like 8:30, 45 minutes from now, you allow questions. So I got 45 minutes to bring this point. See, right now, the Council of Foreign Relations, since 1921, that is the Illuminati, period, in the United States. And the equivalent to that is in Europe, which is a little bit higher level control, is the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the RIIA, in England. That's a sister to it. Then you got the Bilderberg, the Club of Rome. You got the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, Gorbachev Foundation. All those work together in a round table sort of meeting to plan what I'm talking about today. Now, in this plan, the idea is to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military, to destroy the family, which I've talked about feminism before here in the program, I believe. All that is part of taking down the United States since 1945. All this is connected together. But now let's focus on the suicides. Now, they're using psychotropic drugs. They're using voice-to-skull technology. So these troops coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, a large number of them are hearing voices in their head, for example. And they're not going to talk about it because they think it's just that, post-traumatic stress. They don't know, they don't understand the technology that is being introduced to them. Now, I've traced the technology that goes back to the 1970s. I've got the studies of implanted devices, and there's 7,800 lawsuits going on against the CIA and Department of Defense for septal, that's nose, septal implants, septal devices that's been implanted in the nostril by Veterans Administration or by doctors on the troops. 7,800 are members of a class action lawsuit. So this is no small thing. And you got 22 to 26 suicides per day. Now, what they're blaming this on, and this is why I'm coming down to it now, what they're blaming this on is the Veterans Administration and the psychologist there, the psychiatrist that's out of control. Well, no, they're not out of control. They're in perfect control. You see, there's no corruptness. It's being orchestrated. So it's certainly corrupt, but what they're trying to say is that VA itself is doing it. No, the VA is ordered to by the Joint Chief of Staff and by the White House administration that goes back to FDR. This is not just Obama. This is Obama. This is Bill Clinton, who's a Luciferian. He wears the robes like Pat Buchanan. They're Luciferians. Bush, Cheney, the whole lot of them, every one of them, Romney, they're all cousins, too, by the way, of the Merovingian bloodline. These are facts. These are not speculation or conspiracy theory whatsoever. It's a Luciferian agenda. It's not even political, you see. And so I'm going to start off with this congressional commentary that, for me, I believe this one's real. It's from U.S. Congressman David Scott out of Georgia. This one, he is truly concerned. I wrote David Scott. I had to go around the Mulberry Bush because I'm from North Carolina, so I'm not supposed to write a congressman in Georgia. So I did a certain way. I went by some kind of funds. So I sent the email to one of his secretaries, whatever, because they wouldn't let me send it through his regular channels. So I went around to Robin on it and actually got a response that he had received it. So I hadn't got a response about my letter to him, basically saying what I'm saying now. But here's what David Scott said to Congress, and I believe this one's real. I believe that Congressman David Scott is really wanting to know. So let's hear what David Scott got to say. I'm going to play it. Stand by.
Gentleman from Georgia is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The issue here before us on this bill, and first let me say I'm a proud co-sponsor of this bill to replace and be able to fire people. But the problem is the first person we need to fire is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Mrs. Sandecki himself. Now, we respect him. We respect his sacrifice for this country and everything else. But the buck starts at the top. Here are the facts. 5,600 veterans are committing suicide every year. That's almost 20 every day. Under his watch, in my own hospital in Atlanta, 4 of our soldiers were committed suicide in the hospital. And the very inspector general of the VA laid the blame directly at the foot of the VA administrations for the lack of management of the death of these soldiers. And when Chairman Miller and I went down and visited them, we asked, is there one more? Is there any more that has committed suicide? No, there's been no more. And they told a damn lie. Because the very next day it was exposed, there was another soldier that committed suicide. And they covered it up. This has been a pattern that's been going on ever since General Sandecki has been the chairman there. I respect his sacrifice. I respect what he did. But it's under his watch that we are in this situation in the hospital out in the western part of this country, where the Washington Post has accurately reported that 40 of our soldiers lost their lives, died because they couldn't get service. Our veterans are the heart and soul of this country. They are precious. And we must not turn our back upon them. I listened to the president today. And I was very disappointed with President Obama today. There was no urgency. Mr. President, we need urgency. We need you to roll up our sleeves and get into these hospitals. We need you to set a pattern if the VA hospitals can't handle it. Let's give partnerships. Could I get another minute? Let's give partnerships
the gentleman's
with some
time
of the
expired.
Republicans and the other public hospitals.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Yield the gentleman 30 seconds.
The gentleman has yielded 30 more seconds.
God bless you, because that's just things I want to say. Reports are out that the taxpayers are going to have to pay or have paid $1 billion for medical malpractice. A reputed reputable news organization, Cox Media, WSB Television, down in Atlanta, went all over this country. $1 billion the taxpayer paying because a VA cut off the wrong arm, cut off the wrong leg, the wrong testicle, the wrong kidney. Let me tell you all something, folks. Time. That's what I was just so disturbed about. We don't have time for any more investigations. The reports are in. Jesus Christ himself said, there is no more greater sacrifice than to give your life for your friend. Our soldiers have given their lives on the battlefield for them.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
We need to give our lives up here and give our veterans
the respect
that
they deserve. The gentleman is no longer recognized. The gentleman from Maine.
Okay, so you see, now I wrote him and I said, well, it's not 20 per day, it's 26, and that's probably conservative, 26 per day. And he may not have known, you know, his figures need to be, you know, improved, but he's honestly doing it, and these numbers are fluctuating. They tried to hide this many times on what's going on. They tried to hide it many times. And here's the other part. Now, remember, I was emphatic about the Council of Foreign Relations being the Illuminati, which they are, in fact. Well, here's the catcher. Now, first of all, let me play this. To show you all what we're dealing with right here. This is about a few minutes.
A televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
Good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
You see, they keep it hidden. There's a telltale sign. And now to finalize it here, to show you the influence, is this individual.
Thank you very much,
Hillary.
Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, I guess, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
you see, the Council for Relations controls our White House. They lay the groundwork. They are the enemy. And the Joint Chief of Staff, they brief the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, this I'm only scratching the surface here to give you an idea of how this is really organized. Now, the suicides are being orchestrated by using technology and psychotropic drugs that are causing and enhancing the post-traumatic stress. They've experimented with military weapons. They've enhanced by causing our troops going against their training to kill innocent people and children. And then when that's not what they were trained to do. And so when they got them over there, they'd have 2 and 3 and 4 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as a matter of fact, I know that there's a program over there. You want to call it a program, if that's what it is referred to as, of that they would give a 4-day pass, as a 3 or 4-day pass, to any veteran, any Marine, that killed the enemy with a knife. Now, when you're in a bad situation, you're going to kill with whatever you got if you run out of ammunition or whatever. Hand-to-hand combat, close-up combat, you're going to do what you got to do. But this is not what I'm talking about. If you kill that enemy with a knife, stick it in his body, and verified, we're going to give you a 4-day pass. Now, you see, they're going to want a 4-day pass awful bad to get out of there because of what was going on. So that means that, man, I gotta, you know, get up close and personal. So what's going to happen is by stabbing a knife into somebody's body is a lot of violence. Pulling the trigger is not the same. Certainly it's going to be traumatic, but when you get up close and personal and you take a knife and jab it at somebody's body, it takes a little bit of power behind it and violence and anger and hate. Well, that exacerbates the post-traumatic stress result. That's what they want. That's what they want. That was the purpose of it, was to exacerbate and increase the post-traumatic stress reaction. You see, they're doing everything they can which to cause this post-traumatic stress to be increased. Now, in 2006, Bush passed the Veterans Disarmament Act. The Veterans Disarmament Act in 2006 said that any veteran diagnosed with post-traumatic stress could not own a weapon. See how they're doing it? That's how it works. And that's what these people have been up to. That's what they're doing. There's a bigger picture than just that. Now, here's one of my major points. Now, the Council of Foreign Relations is why I brought this up. There's an effort in Washington right now to attack the suicide situation and the results by a group in D.C. that's led by Paul Rykoff. Paul Rykoff is a former Marine. And is to look into the problem of veteran suicide. But here's the problem. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. You see, so they got him up there. They got a member of the They got a turncoat like Paul Rykoff, who's executive director and founder of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans. He's a member of the enemy. He's a veteran. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. You see? And so that covers the principle that they work on is about controlling the opposition. They put one of their own people in, Paul Rykoff, to lead the help so they'll slow it down. So they're going to come up with all kinds of ideas and programs and all this and all that and drag their butts. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to lead away from the actual cause of it with symptoms that are just not part of it, called plausible deniability. That's what they're doing. And nobody's calling it on it. I mean, it's open. You can look at it right now, Paul Rykoff. And it's like part of his resume. R-I-E-C-K-H-O-F-F. Rykoff. And, you know, it just drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. And nobody's calling it on this. There's a conflict of interest here. You know, and nobody's calling anybody on this. They're just blaming it on the VA, and the VA is following orders. You got good folks in the VA, and you got bad folks in the VA. You got some that are politically oriented toward the New World Order, and you got others that are not. And you got a balance, you got a fight going on in the VA of good guys and bad guys. Make a long story short. And so what I've got on my website, for those interested, is the suicide conspiracy attack on United States combat soldier. And I've completed it back in April of last year. I was a long way ahead of this. And I've had it on there for the whole time. And give me for an example. In the Sierra Nevada Corporation, they began production some time ago on the Medusa, and the weapon bypasses the eardrum, and it uses a pulsed microwave audio effect that creates voices and sounds in the heads of the targeted person. And the sounds can be heard by the target person or persons, although they can also be below the awareness threshold of the individual. So it would have a subconscious effect on the person. So when they're above the when they're above the U.S. Supreme Court, it states it's torture. So there is many concerns when the weapons used below the awareness threshold. Now, many people suffer harm and hardship from one or both types of this weapon. And this is what they're using. It's called microwave scream inside the skull. And this goes back goes back to 1973 about putting in a device into the individual. We also have what's called the U.S. military, they bankrolled a non-lethal, they call it, microwave weapon that creates sound inside the skull. And so the gadget is just likely to wind up in shopping malls, which it is. The Walmart is testing it in some of their departments. And so Medusa, it's an acronym for Mob Excess Deterrent Using Silent Audio. And it's not to be confused with a long-range acoustic device and other type of gadgets that they have to project sound. And this one is called a microwave auditory effect. So now when you hear something like a set of keys drop on the floor, or you're out in the woods and the tree falls, you know, and so what you do is you pick up this vibration sound, physical vibrations that come into your ear, that's God put it there to collect these sounds, and it goes in the eardrum, ear canal, eardrum, and somehow or another it transfers it to electrical a signal that goes inside your brain and says, oh, I hear a noise, identifies the noise when it goes like a computer, all right? However, in this device, it bypasses the eardrum and directly implants the sound or voices, yeah, straight into the cortex of the mind using implanted devices. That's where the psychotropic drugs come from. That's where the vaccines that have the nanobot technology, because the nanobot chips gets lodged in the brain and it picks up those signals from the microwave transmission. This technology goes back to the 70s. This is old. It's been enhanced. You see? And so technically, and what they're doing is they can hypnotize that soldier, that Marine, while he's sleeping. In his REM sleep. They can hypnotize him as if you're talking to him like a drone. A human drone. This is why you're getting shooters killing their families, or one Marine or Army or some veteran that kills five people. So they're not just doing it just on military, but also civilians. And one of the major uses, or one of the major causes, is Prozac. They put them on somewhat of a drug, and it reduces their effectiveness mentally. And also has the microchip, and that's exactly what happened in Columbine, Fort Hood, Virginia Tech. Now you see. And so when you get these reports about a veteran killing seven people, they use this to justify weapon control, taking weapons away from veterans, and they're practicing for the big push when they finally do the takeover using foreign troops. And you just imagine this. And the militia, or your groups that, you know, get together and play Rambo, were to go against troops, all they got to do is shut them off or cause them to kill each other. That's exactly what happened when that SEAL, one of the, I think, America's most famous SEAL besides Hancock, of a sniper, well, this Kyle, year before, I forgot exactly when, but he was killed, and a friend of his was killed by a Marine that they were teaching on the firing range. So they're teaching this Marine, two of them, a Navy SEAL, another guy, teaching this Marine, they were friends, how to, you know, firing on the firing line and so forth. And the Marine just turned around and killed both the Kyle and the other guy. That was an assassination. And he got away. This is how they do these things. And this is not going over the edge. This is exactly what's happening. So this Project Medusa, it uses a so-called microwave auditory effect. It's a beam of microwaves turned into sound by the interaction with your head. See, nobody else can hear it unless they're in the beam as well. Now, they can spread that beam over a shopping mall, over a town, you see, over a state, or they can engulf it in a cloud over the United States by using ELF towers that they have placed throughout the United States. You see the implications here? And I'm going to go one more step further, but I'm not going to dwell on this, is they have the Day of Declaration, the disclosure of this one called Maitreya that's going to introduce himself to the world. And the way Benjamin Krem talks about is there's going to be a voice in everybody's head in their language when this Day of Declaration happens. So you see the possibilities of how this is going to work. Can you imagine those people that do not know this technology exists? Can you imagine Christians that don't know about this hear those voices in their head of this so-called alien or fallen angel or demon or whatever you want to call this, these individuals? I'm not going to go into detail on that, but right now. But can you imagine? This is planned, by the way. And Benjamin Krem of Share International is telling us that Maitreya, for example, is going to talk to everyone in their head. This is nothing but technology. So can you imagine the Christians that are born again? If they're not up on this, they can lose their faith. And this is the falling away. You see, this goes further than what we're talking about today. Anyway, back to suicides. The effect has been a laboratory curiosity for a long time. Scientists argue about it and so forth. It's a telepathic ray gun of some sort. And it goes back to 1998 in the U.S. Army study. And it turned up. There was a scientist named Dr. Lev Sadovic, Sierra Nevada Corporation. And there's health risks, of course, because of microwave pulse. And it's a device delivered a lethal shockwave inside the subject's head. As a matter of fact, in 1973, Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwetzebel out of Harvard, one of them out of Harvard, they did a study where they implanted a device into the subjects. They picked specifically homosexuals in prisons. That way they didn't have to worry about the Eighth Amendment. And this test study, the group had implanted a device, a miniaturized electronic device with transponder inside the body, and it would deliver an electrical shock anywhere in the world. When they could monitor voices, location, and sexual responses. So when they got a sexual response, it would show up on a screen, and then they would deliver an electrical shock to the individual to see if it would affect him. Okay, that was 1973. You see, and in that same study, there was an individual, an NSA engineer, computer specialist, that suggested implanting 20 million Americans with this device. Can you imagine what the implications of that could be? Now, the lawsuit, as I talked about, it's well known the CIA started testing substances like LSD on soldiers that started in the 1950s, by the way. They said, I have to lay the groundwork for some of the things I talk about. But less is known about the allegations that the agency implanted electrodes in subjects. So in 2009, there's a claim that a CIA intended to design and test septal electrodes that would enable them to control human behavior. And this lawsuit said that because the government never disclosed the risks, the subjects were not able to give informed consent. So one plaintiff, by the name of Bruce Price, for example, said that MRI scans confirmed that the CIA placed a device in his brain in 1966. So at one point, this complainant, Price, was ordered to visit a building with a chain-link fence that had test animals, including dogs, cats, guinea pigs, and monkeys, and so forth. After reporting, he was strapped across his chest, his wrists, ankles, to a gurney. And he occasionally would regain consciousness for brief moments, according to reports. And in one particular case, he remembers being covered with a great deal of blood. He assumed it was his own, but he didn't really know the source. He wasn't hurting anywhere. Also, portions of his arms and backs and hands were blue, but his wrists and ankles were bruised and sore at some points, were been strapped, but no cuts. And he believes that this was the time period during which a septal implant was placed inside his brain. Now, some defense or defendants placed some sort of implant in Bruce's right ethmoid sinus near the frontal lobe of his brain. That's where it was. And the implant appeared on CT scans as a foreign body of undetermined composition. Now, perhaps it's plastic or some composite material, but they don't know. But in Bruce's right ethmoid, is confirmed his radiology report dated June the 30th, 2004. So this goes back to MK Ultra subjects. So in other words, you can have just a veteran out there working, doing what he's doing, whatever it is, or at home. And he would get a certain voice in the head that would give him some kind of trigger word, or he'd see something, and he'd just simply go to his closet, pull out his weapon, kill his family, and kill himself. Then he'd blame it on, well, post-traumatic stress, and he was just one of those, and that's the way they all are, and that's the point of it right there. And this is practice right now. In mid-November, last year, the magistrate judge James Larson ruled that CIA had to produce records and testimony regarding the experiments conducted on thousands of soldiers from 1950 to 1975. And then, of course, the CIA said that a lot of the documents were state secrets privileges, couldn't produce them. Okay, so this is where it's important that the word of God be spread, because that's the only way this is going to be handled. And the troops don't know what about this. They don't know that supernatural is involved here. Now, there's a lot of technical data I could give, but right now I don't think that'll suffice. I've given an indication here of what's going on. And for example now, there's a study out I recommend everybody read or listen to. It's called The Hidden Enemy, Inside Psychiatry's Covert Agenda. The Hidden Enemy, Inside Psychiatry's Covert Agenda. And it's a film on the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. Now, this is not just focused on the military. This is also in civilians as well as children. Results highlighted some startling facts about psychiatry in the military. See, they're going to blame psychiatry. Psychiatrists are following orders. Now, they're talking about 22 veterans are committing suicide every day. It's really 26 or more. In 2012, there were more active duty soldiers died from suicide than were killed in battle. All right? And a questionnaire that was used to screen military personnel for depression and post-traumatic stress was copyrighted by Pfizer. Drugs. They manufacture antidepressant Zoloft and other psychiatric drugs. You know that 85% of military suicides had never seen combat? Now, there's a little indicator. And more than 60% of suicides in the military were taking antidepressants or recently undergoing outpatient psychiatric treatment. How about in your high schools and your lower schools? Well, your child has ADHD. We think you should take these pills. You see what they're doing? This is all part. It's not just on veterans. This is also children and adults outside the U.S. military. The anti-psychotic drug, Seroquel, is referred to by soldiers and veterans as a Seroquel because of its implication in cases of cardiac arrest and sudden death. Now, my premise is it's not just psychiatry that's out of control. It's much, much higher than that. There's an overall effort to take out the U.S. veterans. That's what I'm trying to get across to people. It's orchestrated. It's designed. And it's used to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military so there could be a takeover of the European, Chinese, and Russian troops already here and set up by our own government as orchestrated by the Council of Foreign Relations led by the Illuminati. That's what I'm talking about. So I've made my point there as far as, now there's a whole lot more material here. But that's what's going on as far as the troops and the suicide conspiracy. And what I'd like to talk about, I know that what you got questions about 10 minutes or so, you got calls in or something.
I'll try to give him 30 minutes if I can. So
yeah,
if
sure.
You wrap it up about 5 minutes, we're good to go.
Okay. Now, getting down to it then, you got my basic premise, and on my website, watchmenforjesus.com, is that study. That gives you more detail. But now getting more personal about it, warning signs of a suicide, people to look out for, would be observable signs of serious depression or a low mood all the time or being pessimistic all the time. Have words of hopelessness, desperation, to watch out for the veterans when they come back for inner tension or withdrawal, sleep problems, increased alcohol or drug use, impulsiveness or taking unnecessary risks, outburst of anger, threatening suicide or expressing a strong wish to die. Because what they did over there is coming back now to haunt them. When you're in a war and you're fighting to protect yourself and your fellow veteran and so forth, is one thing. You still get post-traumatic stress, but nowhere near when you kill innocents and you kill, and you're not trained to kill innocents. It's not. I was at Paris Island. I was a company commander at Paris Island in recruiting duty, and I've been in the fleet. You're trained to kill the enemy as a Marine. But when you start killing innocents and you come back and you have these nightmares and you have this thinking going on and you have this haunting. Now you add the psychotropic drugs and you add the voices, you got yourself a deadly cocktail. And they know that and they're using that. Because it's New World Order planning a military takeover of the U.S. government, which has been the sixth time they've planned this. See, it all goes back to that. When they start making a plan, if you discover it on the computers, for example, or little notes that you see laying around, giving away prized possessions, or sudden or impulsive purchase of a firearm, obtaining other means of killing somebody, oneself with poisons or medications, or certainly unexpected rage or anger. Is something to watch out for, to be very wary of it, and to be cautious about it. And these drugs, man, are killing them. And this part of the cause, because if people out there would do a quick check, you'll find with the FDA approved microchips in pills. When they come up with the mark of the beast, it's a digital tattoo. It links into your soul. I mean, it does. The technology goes back to the 1960s. So it's not really a Vera chip. It's a tattoo that fits and it locks into your skin, and you can't take it off. You see? And it has microcircuits and so forth on it. It can deliver medications. They're doing that now. Your dear grandmother can receive her medications without you worrying about it because it's timed on her digital tattoo. And they're putting it on kids. They have a Child Euthanasia Act that's going to go through in Oregon. So children can commit suicide, and the parents can't do anything about it once they sign International Rights of the Child. That's what they're headed toward. They're going to do it. And they've already looked up Oregon, and there's four or five states getting ready to jump on it for children who's disabled to elect to kill themselves, euthanize themselves, because of the trauma of being disabled. Well, it's going to go beyond that. You see, Satan is working hard, and people got to know this stuff. They got to know this, what's really going on out there. It's not being told the truth. Now, I just barely touched the surface here today. And I know we're right now at the end, so I guess, I keep going, but... These drugs, legalizing marijuana, all this is part of it. Can you imagine the troops coming back and they're legalizing marijuana and they got those smoke pipes with the tar and nicotine? That's what it's for. So now you can start medicating yourself with marijuana. Can you imagine what's going to happen? And this is what they're heading toward. And people aren't catching up on this stuff, on this sneaking up. And who the real enemy is, the secret societies. The real enemy is the Luciferian government that's controlled by the Europeans and the Vatican. And our own churches are leading people away from Jesus. A lot of the churches today using wrong Bibles. I mean, all this is connected together. And if the people just go back to Jesus, it would override a lot of what's going on. These drugs and these contact groups and movements, it's not going to do a thing. All they're doing there is slow things down. It's getting back to the basic about Jesus. That's really the bottom line. There is no other way but through the love of Jesus and becoming born again, prayer and fasting. That is the answer. So, any questions?
Yes, Tom, I really appreciate all that you said this morning. I'm truly grateful unto God for the knowledge, for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding. Now, you said something that I wanted to tap off into. Alcohol, aggressiveness, and there was something else you said when you mentioned those things. But I see too much men are going to the military. Some of them go in not taking a drink. They don't drink. They're young men, but they don't drink. But when they come out, they're cold stone alcoholics, and they have no control. Some of them, they use drugs. They come out using drugs. And when you say something to the commanding officer or anybody about it, they really do nothing about it. They're sending them and they say they're going for treatment. But what they do is kind of slap them on the wrist, never put them in a treatment program where they're, I hate to use the term locked up, but they need to be locked up so that they can completely dry out. They give them outpatient treatment and send them on to the liquor store. Because as soon as they leave outpatient, they go to the bar. And now I see that too. And all of this, they are always talking about committing suicide. Yeah. Especially when they have drinks in them and spirits in them. They're always talking about committing suicide. So, would you have any suggestions or recommendations for family members?
Well, I gave partial of what to look for, a little while ago, of things to look for. But when you see these signs...
So they already know what to look for because it's already there.
Right.
They're abusive, they're aggressive, they never have too much kind things to say. But what I mean is, what can a family do to help their family member that has become this way through the military?
Well, through the military, all I can say is good luck.
Yeah,
that's the problem. See, there's the problem. The problem is, like I was saying earlier, is the highest level, they're not going to address what we're talking about. There's an effort to kill our veterans by the government, as led by the Council of Foreign Relations. This is what I'm talking about. So when you go get help, they'll say, okay, he needs to take some drugs, or let's get him diagnosed. He needs to talk to a psychiatrist. As I said, it's going back to Jesus. It's starting to pray. It's witnessing to these veterans supernaturally. Because, see, these drugs and these chips, it allows possession. Now, if they don't believe in God, they're not going to understand this. If they don't believe in the supernatural. You know, and the biggest thing is they got to forgive themselves of what they've done. Self-forgiveness. Forgiveness of the enemy. This is the answer. There is no other answer. You go to the Veterans Administration, these programs, they're going to diagnose them, and some of the troops aren't going to do this. They're not going to do it because they know that they'll be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. Weapons can be taken away. Therefore, they've lost their security, you see. And then they're labeled as "quote unquote" crazy. You see, well, I'm not going to do that, man. I ain't going there. No, I, you know. So, the proverbial help, realistically, is not there.
Okay.
Because they won't admit. And then if they do admit it, doc, I really need to talk to you. They're going to be labeled as crazy. They're going to be labeled as post-traumatic stress, unstable. We need to give you some pills. We need to give you a nose spray. We need to do this, and you better not own a weapon. You see, so it's a catch-22 here.
All right.
I mean, that's realistic.
What I was,
yeah, go ahead.
That's what I was trying to find out, which I kind of figured that was no real help for them. See, I kind of figured as much because you've been arrested for this. Mm. You know, you've done something. You beat your wife or whatever, and they had to come out several times for this, and it continues. They sent you somewhere and said you was getting help, but they don't put nobody over you to watch what you, you know, watch your behavior or where you go or nothing. I said then there's no real help in there for them.
No, not really.
And they don't really care because what they wanted was a body to call a soldier to go fight a war that they started that didn't have to start.
Exactly.
There were ways around it, but your arrogance, and you want to be taken over. So now you got these men who have families that you really don't care about. You just needed a body to go fight the war, and you psych them out and all of this stuff. Yeah, I kind of knew there was no help. But I just wanted to see if you knew something that, you know, we did not know that maybe could help them in some way. But I know prayer is the key. Faith. And like you said, if they believe in God, they have a chance. But if they don't believe in God, then they don't have a ghost of a chance.
No, they don't.
I have another caller, Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to bring this next caller in.
Okay.
Good morning, Sister Gloria. How are you? Unmute that phone, Sister Gloria.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, just a second. Good morning, everyone. I have a question. What is the Illuminati?
The Illuminati. Oh, okay. I can answer that question.
Is it a spirit or is it an actual person?
No, I see where you're going with this. All right, here we go. I'll make this as quick as possible. But first, what I recommend is that you look up the word Illuminati and families for your start. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to cut the time short here. There is a worldwide conspiracy that's orchestrated by a tribe of genetically related individuals. All right? I give the class response to it, the proverbial response. And these Illuminati are members of wealthy, politically powerful, and corporate elite of the world, and they're also members of so-called black nobility of Europe. And their goal is to create a one-world government. And they want to now strip, as they've planned all along, they've used a nationalistic organization for centuries. They carried on from generation to generation. All right? And so they have used the separation of people to cause wars to happen, order out of chaos. I'm going to tell you who they are. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
You have 26 major families. You have 13 on the inside and 13 on the outside. The 13 on the outside is ones we all know about that study this, right? But they always have an inner core and outer core. Same thing as the Vatican. They use the Vatican to control people. The Vatican, the popes, there are three popes, answer to the Illuminati. And the one pope that controls it is Pepe Orsini. Orsini is one of the insider Illuminati families. Now, specifically, the Illuminati have bloodlines tracing back to the pharaohs of ancient Egypt. You understand? And so the pharaohs of ancient Egypt are in the bloodline of the second wave of fallen angels and the daughters of man. They're hybrids. Specifically, Rothschild, Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freemans, DuPont, Freeman, the Kennedy family, the Lai family, L.I. from China, Onassa, Greece, Rockefellers, Disney, one evil individual, an entire bloodline family. Russell, Van Duyn, up in Scandinavia. Merovingian bloodline, which is Queen Elizabeth II. And all of the royal bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II. Goes back to Charles Maine. They can trace it all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt. And Reynolds family, Reynolds Tobacco, Reynolds Aluminum. Now, that's the ones on the outside. But the inside Illuminati family, the real Illuminati family that pulls the strings, are all Italian. The Famiglia family, the Este, the Farnese, Aldo Brandini, Orsini, is the Pope part, Breakspeare, Medici, the Borgia that controls the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church, the Sangallia, Conti, Chagi, Colonna, and Gaetana. And they have different houses in Sweden, France, Portugal, Monaco, Austria, Germany, many of them in Germany. Yugoslavia, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, Denmark, Netherlands, Italy, Belgium, Albania. These are all royal families that are working for it. They're nothing more than slaves of the fallen angels, of Lucifer. I mean, they manifest Lucifer on this ground. They manifest the fallen angels in this world by child sacrifice and ritual. I mean, that's the short of it. That's the Illuminati. And they're nothing but worker bees, half angelic, half human hybrids of the world's today's royal families and prime ministers and presidents. In other words, all of our presidents has been proven, except for Van Buren. All of our presidents are sixth and seventh and eighth cousin of the Queen Elizabeth bloodline. You see, Satan has not been sitting still.
No.
Not at all. And what's coming up is this lie about extraterrestrial baloney, and for the New Agers, ascended master baloney. These are fallen angels that's coming. There's no such thing as aliens out there. They don't exist. They're fallen angels.
Yeah.
The sons of God of the Old Testament are the fallen angels. The sons of, you see?
That's what, no. I was sharing in the chat room.
Uh-huh.
In Florida, Jacksonville, we have what we call here, Tom and Gloria, ABC liquor stores.
Uh-huh.
On the building, it's got it in letters, a sign on the building. This is what it says. Wines and spirits.
Uh-huh.
Wines and spirits. It's allowing you to know it's liquid spirits in a bottle. And it's your choice to go in and drink you as many spirits as you like.
Uh-huh.
As much as your money will buy, you can buy those spirits and put in you, because most military men, they're not wine drinkers. They're spirit drinkers. See, as Tom is explaining, this Illuminati thing, it goes way back. It goes way back. And listen, anytime you got a pope or a preacher or somebody saying they're a spiritual leader, and they allow people to kiss their hands, to kiss a ring, that tell you something. When the man bowed down, I believe it was John and Peter or some of the apostles, when he bowed down to them, they immediately got the man up and said, no, you can't worship me. You see, listen, we're dealing with the rulers of the darkness.
Yeah.
Spiritual wickedness in high places, in leadership.
Uh-huh.
And we sit back, many of us, and we see this, and we're still playing church.
Ooh.
And I'm African-American, so I know more about black people, African-Americans, Negroes, or whatever they call us. I know more about this race of people than any other people. And we sit back, and we continue to play church.
Yep.
We're still dressing up. We're still over there with our traditions and formalities and all this stupid stuff. When all of this thing is taking place, and we're not on the wall, we're not watching. We're too busy getting our name out there. We're too busy building our own empire. We're too busy being full of glit and glamour. Look at me. I want to be big. The world has changed, and if you're not paying attention, you're out of gas. And just like they put these things in your head, and you're hearing voices, you'll fall away because you don't understand what's going on. Well, you didn't watch as well as pray. See, if you was watching as well as praying, God would allow you to run into a Tom Gambia.
Mm-hmm.
There will be others that you'll link up with, a Louie, a Linda, and many others that's following the times, the signs of the time.
Mm-hmm.
God has given them the ability to search, research, and to understand, and to be willing to share their research with us, what they really know. But we're too busy sitting back trying to act deep.
Yep.
Trying to get our voice out here and not the voice of God. I heard him say the only help for these men is through fasting and prayer. And if we remember, the apostles went to Jesus and said, why we couldn't cast that, those demons out? He said, those kind come out through fasting and prayer. We're not studying the word of God and being watchmen. See? Because this stuff's going to slip up on many. They see her over on Facebook with their dressed up pictures on so that people can give them what we call props. So that people can say how good they look and make them feel good. I talked with this one pastor, and as long as you're talking about how good he is and how what the good things that he do, he will never leave you. You can talk forever. Then the minute you go to talking about Jesus is coming back, he's looking for the church without spot or wrinkle. This particular pastor got to go. Mm. And see, we're still in our flesh. God is looking for spiritual people.
Yep.
He's looking for people going to stay on the wall. Watch as well as pray. No. Is that anyone else?
Oh, can I ask one more question? Can I ask one more question?
Yes, I'm sorry, Sister Linda, yes.
Hello? No, this is Gloria.
I mean, Gloria, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, with the now, when you name different names and corporations and all that, is UPS in there somewhere?
UPS?
Yeah.
All corporations are controlled. All corporations are controlled. All of them. You won't find one thing not mixed. For example, one statement I've made, quote, well, anyway, quote, because every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion toward God as executed by his human agents.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, an actual quote from a clergyman in William G. Carr's book, he was told, and I'll quote him, exactly. He said, and I quote, in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, and of course Henry Ford was not a good guy, but I'll list him anyway, that as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, quote, this is William G. Carr talking, is the amazing thing about the protocols of learned elder Zion, that's the Illuminati's plan, by the way, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, trying to blame it on the Jews, which it's not, about the protocols, no person who studied them can deny that the conspiracy has developed exactly as those who conceived the original plan intended. One clergyman, and this is William G. Carr speaking, 1955, one clergyman with whom I discussed this matter remarked, quote, nothing human could have been so absolutely correct and so perfect in regard to timing and purpose. You have convinced me that the international conspiracy is a conspiracy of Satan. You see, this is what it all boils down to, irrefutably. And it goes to spiritual warfare. This is the answer, literally. You see? And preachers don't know this. And the ones that do know it are Freemasons or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and they're hiding it. And leading people away from Jesus, using corrupted Bibles, not using the King James. That King James has him scared to death.
Yes.
Yeah. You see? That's,
I'm with you when you're right, Tom. Listen, the things that James wrote over there have them scared to death.
That's right.
This is why they evade it. This is why they go around it. This is why they put together their own thing. Because and they don't want to really see that and really believe that. They want to continue to do what the flesh want to do and still feel that they have a place that's going to be safe one day. But God said what he meant, and I don't care who tried to change it and flip it over and fix it. I don't care. He said what he meant, and God has meant what he said. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. He said he was coming back, and he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle, a And he let us, the true believers, know that we're the church. Heaven and hell is real. This is why they don't teach that no more. That is frightening to a non-believer because you're not a true believer. So when you hear the truth, it frightens you. You're afraid. You don't want to hear that. I see men trembling many days at what I speak about because you're not there. You're somewhere else believing what you want because these people can't, they sound about right to me. I don't want to be with what sounds about right to me. I want to be with what is true. See, because that truth will set me free, and not only that, the truth will put me in a place where fear, I don't have to worry about it. Because God has not given me the spirit of fear. Once I became a new creature in Christ, he gave me power, love, and a sound mind. But now if I'm playing around now, I'm playing like I'm the church, there's going to be a lot of fear for me. There are a lot of things I'll be doing that I don't have to do. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said that all things must work together. If a hurricane come through here right now and tear up where I live, it's going to work together for my good. I love him, and he called me. He said he wouldn't withhold no good thing from me. This is good information this morning. This is good to know. He didn't withhold it from us. But it's up to us to receive what he sent Tom with today. That's your choice. Oh, yeah, I'm down for the cause with that, Tom. I believe every word of that. And God left the book. But see, we don't want what he left. We want to add to it. We want to take away from it. We want it this way. We want it that way. Because we don't want to get up and do what's right. We want to pretend that we're doing something, but see, we quickly forget the eyes of the Lord, not my eyes, because the eyes of Barbara's in Jacksonville. But the eyes of Almighty God is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows those that are living right and those that are not. He knows every true believer, how many hairs on your head. He made you for his pleasure. Oh, yeah. And any day we want to stop playing church, we can do it. Is there anyone else that has something they would like to say? Good morning to your area code 832. Brother Frank in the house again this morning. Yay. Good to see that number. Sister Ellis, God bless you this morning. Good morning. Sister Mari, Brother Anthony, God bless you this morning. Those that are coming through LinkedIn and Twitter and MySpace and Facebook and all of the different social media websites, those that were listening in the archives, God bless you today. We thank God for you tuning in with us. And our guest this morning is none other than Mr. Tom Gambill. And he's been sharing with us the suicide of military men, the Illuminati, and the things that are all connected to all of this stuff. And also one of the main things that made me want to shout is this. He said this, the only way to get veterans help is through fasting and praying. And I'm down with him 100%. I believe that 100%. Because God is a spiritual God. And if we want something from him, we must do spiritual things. Now, if you think I'm lying, if you want something from God, do you not have to pray? That's a spiritual move. Because when you pray, when you're opening your mouth, or even you're praying in your heart, you don't see nothing. You're believing that he hears it. You're trusting that he hears it. That's spiritual. That's by faith. And everything else must come through faith and trust in him as well. Oh, yeah, it's all right today, and I feel real good. Right now in my spirit. I feel wonderful this morning because he has brought some truth to us. We know what to pray for. We know what to fast for now. I often share, I don't talk too much about veterans because it's a touchy situation for me. But we all should have some veterans that we support. The only thing you may be able to do is when you cook your dinner for your family, you may be able to just take two veterans who have come home a plate of dinner. That may be all you can do, and you may not be able to do that every day. But every now and then, you can serve a veteran with something. You may not be able to do nothing but buy them a pair of slippers, house slippers or something. But do what you can to support them. They went and gave their lives so that we can have ours. I have a sound mind today because I've never been given drugs or alcohol or no kind of medication because I went to Vietnam or I went to Iraq. But they did that for me. So I'm grateful unto God for sending them, giving them the mind to go, and then I'm grateful unto them for going on fulfilling the plan. Now, what can I do for you today? Well, Barbara, I'm at that mission, and I'm out of soap. I can't just use any kind of soap, Barbara. I have to use this kind. How much is the soap? Well, I pay about $7 a bar. I have $20 in my pocket. Why can't I go buy him two bars of soap? He's a veteran. He's our veteran. He went so I didn't have to endure nothing. I can continue to do Jesus in the morning. Or when I was a girl, I could continue going to school. I could continue playing hopscotch and jacks. Because this older man who was a younger man back then, went and gave his life for me. Now he's come home and he's not all the way there like he was before he left. And I know he's got a need. But see, we do Jesus any kind of way, so we think we can do man any kind of way. All right, Bro Frank, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning, God bless you. How are you today, Bro Frank?
I'm wonderful. Good morning to everyone this morning. I just want to thank you and thank Tom and all. I just thank people because I am a veteran and I've witnessed a lot of what's been going on. And I just thank the people. I want to thank for the ones, the veterans that I do know, my friends that I know, and just thank you and everyone for at least accepting us now. Before, it was always a lookover or something. And I have witnessed the VA letting us just die out instead of things just happening and how we get overlooked and being diagnosed as we crazy and all these other things. But the main thing that I do know that is prayer and fasting. God is helping us. Not that he will help us, but he is helping us. And I'm so thankful for God that he brought me through, and every day I thank him for what he's doing for me and trying to do, because I watched friends of mine leave out of here when they could still be here for lack of help that we need. And I've been a victim of that way, is that I was told to wait, and just recently, matter of fact, this week, my primary care doctor had them call me and say, well, your follow-up is way overdue. Well, that was last year. It will be a year next month since they even seen me. And now I have to ask for blood and hold 9 yards, and they neglected me, and I've been hollering and squeaking, but it's going to happen because God is going to make it happen. And I just want to thank for the information and glad to be here this morning to listen and hear it. And I give all the praise and glory to God. Thank you. Good morning.
Yes. God bless you, Brother Frank. God bless you. And I thank you for all you went and did for us in the military. Because we couldn't go. We didn't want to go. We were afraid to go. Men like you, men like Tom, y'all went and did all you could do so that we, the people, could stay safe. So it's time, it's really time for people to pay more attention and to get involved and to do something for a veteran today. Don't ask what the veteran can do for you. But ask what you can do for them, and let's serve them. They served you already. I see men on the street farming wheelchairs with little cans and little bowls, and they have their little flag on the chair. People walk right by them like, oh, well. Not even remembering these people went and gave so you could be. And I think it's so wrong that they pay football teams, football players, all of this money, but won't give a returning veteran a decent salary, won't give a veteran that's already over there in uniform a decent salary. The only way they get more money is if they're in the world like we are, you make rank. That is crazy to me. I don't care if he's a, what they call it, a corporal. He's just a regular man in the military. Without him, we couldn't be. Because it's just like we being here. If some people didn't work at McDonald's when I'm hungry and I can't make a quick meal, I couldn't go to McDonald's and eat because nobody took a lesser pay and a lower position job. And we're down on those things. But these are the people that really should be paid and paid in full and taken care of. We got to get out of here because it's ending today, but I'm going to pray right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless today every caller, every listener. Bless Tom for coming and sharing this morning. Father, I speak the blessings of your people. I speak your blessings upon your people today in your son Jesus' name. Lord, move by your spirit for them, touch and heal today. Let every veteran know that they are loved. Somebody loves them. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless each and every one today. It's the weekend. It's Friday. And we pray that you have a blessed weekend. We speak the blessings of the Lord over you this weekend to stay safe. We pray that the Lord bring us back on Monday morning. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share Jesus with somebody and give someone something of quality. Serve a veteran today and don't forget him. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye.
Bye, y'all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank all of you. God bless all
God
of you.
God bless you.
One love always.
Oh.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.